Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, January 3rd, 2017. This is the January monthly meeting of the Citizens Advisory Committee for the new water reclamation facility. Please note we have a quorum present. Absent members include Ginny Gorelick and Paul Donnelly, and then John Diotti may be coming late. So I, Barbara Spagnola, will chair the meeting in his absence till he arrives. So we do have a quorum. I'll call this meeting to order. We'll have a moment of silent meditation, please. Okay, thank you. Will everyone please rise for the pledge? Okay, that brings us to public comment on anything not on the agenda. Is there anybody from the public that would like to comment? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to the consent agenda. Item A1, approval of minutes from the Water Reclamation Facility Citizens Advisory Committee meeting of December 6th. Any discussion or comments on the minutes, please?
I was just going to go ahead and make a motion to accept the minutes as stated.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Nays? I'm sorry, Richard, did you?
I'll just be signing on that.
Are you sure?
Yeah, there's, I mentioned certain things and it's not in the minutes at the end of that meeting regarding exfiltration, but you can pick it up on YouTube. I thought it should be in writing.
Okay, and along that line, I also wanted to make a clarification on those minutes, not to change the minutes, just more for clarification. And that was, Richard, you had given us a website for more information, okay, on the WRF CAC. I just want to make it clear that website is not associated with this committee, the WRF CAC, or the WRF CAC Finance Subcommittee. It's an information site only because there is some financial information that we have not vetted, and I do not believe the city has vetted on that website. So just for the record,
yeah,
go ahead,
for
Richard.
For the record, all that data that is analyzed there was received through a PRA at the city. So it's available. You could look at and analyze it yourself.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right, there was a motion and all approved. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, opposed. So minutes approved as stated. Okay, so that brings us to business items. Item B1, that is a program status update, and I believe I will turn that over to you, Mike Nunnally, if you would like to comment on that, and we'll go with further discussion after you're done.
Thank you. I'll give a brief update of new information or work that has gone on since our last WRF CAC meeting. With the holidays, it's a fairly short bullet list, but there's a lot of work going on in the background that you'll see the results of over the next few months. So first, we did present the draft facility master plan to City Council, and we've received comments from Council. We've continued to receive comments from the public. We've completed some draft, what we call optimization runs, of the lower Mora Valley groundwater model. The goal of an optimization run is to figure out how few injection wells you could use, how few extraction wells you could use, look at things like regulatory requirements like travel time between where you put in the water and where you extract it. So, and we're going to plan to bring you an update on the groundwater studies at the next meeting, in the February WRF CAC meeting, so we can show you where we're at on that and what the findings are so far.
On that note, Are you using data that was acquired from the 68 monitoring wells during the MTBE remediation data? Are you going to use some of that?
Yeah, well, what GSI Water has done is they've taken all the available, they did a data request.
I'm specifically asking a question. Are you going to use data from those 68 monitoring wells that were drilled for the MTBE remediation? That data is available at the regional board. Are you going to use that to help study the idiosyncrasies of that aquifer?
They have used all that data and more. So they have gathered all the available well information they could get, whether it was monitoring wells, MTBE wells, everything they could get in the groundwater basin.
I got one quick question. You speak to the infiltration extraction wells. Are you looking to have to pop new wells, or are there enough existing out there to, you know, basically do what you need to do?
That's part of what GSI Water is looking at.
Oh, okay. So they're still studying that.
Go would be try to not drill new extraction wells, right, if we could help it, but it might be less expensive than some other ways of getting the water in and taking it out.
So it's my understanding there's a lot of wells out in that area. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. And we've continued analyzing and compiling flow data for use of the design and construction teams. Facilitated the execution of the final MOU with the property owner at South Bay Boulevard.
What flow data are you talking about in the aquifer?
We're talking collection system and plant data. We've completed draft requests for proposals for the engineering services for the lift station and pipelines, and you'll see that in your agenda packet today. Updated the program schedule and received the final agreement from the State Water Resource Control Board for the State Revolving Fund Planning Loan, which is a pretty important milestone for the city in terms of cash flow. So the program schedule update, really no changes in any of those critical path items since we met back in November, but I did want to include them here just to remind folks what those milestones are. I'm glad to respond to any questions you might have on them. Next milestone really being the draft master water reclamation plan that we're planning to release in March.
Okay, so
I got a question on your, when you're collecting your flow data on your collection system. First off, in referencing the Cleeth and Associates December 7th Morro Basin Nitrate Study and the Wallace Engineering Flow Study of 2005, specifically in the Cleeth and Associates study, that study basically dismisses any potential exfiltration by misquoting a EPA Amick & Burgess study saying that the solids in our system are self-sealing. I'm not going to get into that, but the main thing of that study was that in Berkeley, there was they estimated 53% exfiltration rates in that area. And being that we're on the coast and liquefaction is a serious issue, in fact, Tayucas had received 24 projects just for that from the earthquake in San Simeon, 2003. How are you looking at flow data and how are you interpreting exfiltration rates in your flow data analysis?
So we haven't seen any evidence of exfiltration based on the flow data we've collected.
Have you personally looked at any of the sewer lines, TV and the TVs that were done in the sewer lines personally?
I have personally not.
Okay.
But collection, but what
that,
we
that's that,
what
that,
we have done though, well if I I'd like
yeah,
to
thank you for answering
just
that.
So okay, folks
maybe you should,
watching in the public
maybe
aren't
you
confused.
Should look at some of the sewer line data and then explain to me how there's no exfiltration.
Well, what I did want to explain is what we've done is we've placed flow meters at different points in a collection system, and we've also taken the flow data at the wastewater plant. We've been collecting that now for several months. So that's really been the extent of that flow monitoring.
Okay. Are you planning looking at exfiltration rates?
We haven't seen any evidence of exfiltration.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Richard. I think similarly, some of these studies you're quoting are 10 plus years old. I would hope they would be considering all the studies, all the evidence, and if you still feel your questions aren't answered, like we do in the finance, I'd ask you to send them in writing
They've been sent in writing several years ago. I've been bringing up capacity issues since this board was formed, and what I suggest is this board look at the Cleat and Associates study and explain to me how our solids are self-sealing the sewer collection system and they dismissed exfiltration. That's a problem because that whole study was the study was on exfiltration. And what was omitted was the fact that during a surcharge or an infiltration event, all those self-sealing properties would go away and then you have exfiltration of sewage.
And that's fair.
So, you know, to be fair, it's not like this is a new issue.
I understand. I just haven't seen it articulated, and I think if it gets articulated, those of us on this committee that have that expertise maybe can respond to that, and more importantly, so can the project manager.
Okay.
Thank you. Mike, does that conclude the first item, the program status update?
That's correct, and as I mentioned, some of the items, well, particularly the RFP we alluded to, we'll discuss as a separate item.
Okay. Are there any other comments on that item or any comments from the public on item B1?
No.
Mike, if I could have a follow-up question to our last meeting along the program status, we discussed same advice I'm giving you, Richard, and I forwarded my questions in writing, and Mike met with me and answered those, so to my satisfaction, and I know, when will we receive the next quarterly update on the program budget actuals cost? Is that going to be February covering through December?
What we would like to do is we'd like to bring that back in March, and what that will do is that'll give us one of the challenges is with consultant invoices, mm-hmm. is if they're large consultants like ESA or like Black and Beach, they have sub-consultants. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can take them 30 days to get their invoice together and get it to us after the work's done. Mm-hmm. So what I'd like to do is bring you an update in March. And then what I also like to do is send an update first to the finance subcommittee just to respond, because you had some very good questions that I think others may be interested in hearing. We'd like to bounce that off of you, make sure everything is clear, and then bring that back. So the goal would be get that to you all 2 weeks before the March meeting, and then bring the quarterly update back in first week of March to cover through the end of the calendar year.
Okay, so it'd be those questions we discussed and anomalies, and then it'll come to after the finance subcommittee, it'll come to this board and then to City Council. Is that the correct order?
That'd be the order.
Is that agreeable to everybody? As long as it doesn't get delayed any further. I didn't see anything on the website. Have you put any of these reports on the website yet, the city's website? We talked about that a little bit.
Well, we do have, what we should do is we should set up a separate page for those and make those finance reports on there on a separate item. Right now, they're linked through the council agendas and staff reports and work.
So you kind of have to,
You kind of have to dig. Let's pull those out separately. We'll do that.
Okay. And then will we have a separate website on the city? We used to, and then now I find most of the information under Hot Topics. So is there still a separate, used to be WRF, you know?
Yeah, that's right. So there is the WRF website is morrobaywrf.com.
Okay.
And that's where we keep all the program documents. Mm-hmm. We have some really good, as questions come up from the public, we try to keep the frequently asked questions and answers updated just so folks can go there.
And is there a link there through the city website?
Yes, there is.
Okay. As long as it's obvious where to go and get all the data. I was searching around to find quite a bit of it, but I would like to see those reports.
We can break the budget out, reports out separately.
Okay, and then if anybody else has any comments, excuse me, I think Dale or somebody last month wanted to see something a little different on that budget. I haven't received any input from anybody on our committee, but if you do, give us your suggestions. You know, we can tweak it and tailor it. I think what's important is we get something on that website with a budget summary.
Yep.
Okay.
One of the things that, you know, the citizens are, we are up here to represent the public, okay, especially people that are appointed to a committee. And one of the things is, we're getting charged like $40,000 for a pretty fancy program. Is there, we should be able to just, like, you should be able to get on your computer and push a button and let me know, for instance, up to December 31st, how much Mr. Rickenbach has charged. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case right now, is it?
No, it is the case.
You could get on there right now and let me know, for instance, we could find out how much we've paid every contractor up to the.
Well, that's what we produce in the quarterly reports. That second page is a pro quarter export.
I'm talking about in real time. Let's say like when they get billed, I'm saying with that program, we should be able to know, not every 3 months, but like at least every month where we're at.
So as we get invoices, one thing we talked about this last time, but I'll kind of remind everyone how it works. As we get invoices from consultants, we enter those into Procore right away. So as soon as we receive an invoice, we review it, we send comments back to the consultants. Things they need to fix, we upload it into Procore, we enter the information in, and that's captured. And then that goes through a city workflow where city finance reviews it first. They come back to us with any questions. If city finance is satisfied, then it goes to the public works director, and Rob reviews it. If he's satisfied, then he marks it for approval, and he provides it to the accounts payable folks over the city. Anytime I get an invoice, it goes right into Procore.
Okay, so we could at least know, as a public, know what, before it gets approved, but what is being charged, what your bill is, right? Like if you give me a bill for $10,000 and then it starts to go through approval, right? And they say, well, you didn't do this or you didn't do that, but at least we could find out where we're at, what the bill is. Because I mean, historically, Rob looks like he's pretty much rubber stamping everything, the way I see it.
I wouldn't say that's the case. Part of our job is to review what consultants charge.
You are a consultant. You're not a staff member.
And our invoices, are reviewed by finance department and also by Rob. And
by
we do
city
get questions
staff,
back.
Right?
From ours.
City
That's
staff
correct.
Is different. Their goal, their loyalty should be to the city as a corporation, the mm-hmm. city incorporated. Your loyalty is not to the city. Your loyalty is to your own business. Okay? Your number one thing is MLK, whatever you charge, that's who your loyalty is. But what I'm saying is, as a staff member, okay, you're not a staff. You are charging the city, okay? And so whatever all your consultants charge, we should know right when the bill comes, what it was.
So can I comment on that? Because we discussed this in detail at the last meeting. And, we obviously maybe have a difference of opinion here. But regardless, both are raising good points. Mike went through with Rob Livick at our last December meeting in detail how these invoices were approved. My specific question was, who on city finance staff is responsible overall for the project costs? Because this is a humongous project. And Mike and Rob answered that again. I confirmed that by stating that's an invoice verification process. Who is exercising 110% due diligence? And Mike indicated it was him. That was his job. Now, Mike is matrix to the city, but I understand your point. I agree. He's a consultant, just like many other suppliers on this project. And I'm also working with the Citizens Finance Committee to get some budget-friendly reports. I'm going to be meeting again with some city finance staff, Richard, to go over this exact same point.
Okay.
And because that's my point. I believe not an engineer. Let me finish. I believe an engineering firm project manager may or may not have the municipal finance government accounting experience that a city financial person will, and could exercise a different level of oversight that is perhaps needed. That's my opinion.
Well, is it fair to say, Richard, I'm sorry, but mm-hmm. you're kind of taking a shot in the dark at people in a public forum.
No, let
me finish. You talk a lot. Let me say what I want to say. The problem I have is write them in advance. You had this prepared. You could have wrote them in advance and say, could you please come in with these numbers? And I think they could have helped you out in that. But to sit there and put them on the spot right on public TV, I just find a cheap shot.
I don't come with a predetermined agenda. As we go through, it's organic for me. And what I'm saying is philosophically, we have a problem here, okay? We have a entity or a person representing an entity that's private. And then we have the city staff, which is supposed to take care of the fiduciary duties of the city. Now, you can't wear both hats and be loyal to both is the problem. We should have city staff, somebody that works for the city, that looking out for the city as a corporation best interest. And that's not necessarily in line with a private enterprise or a private corporation that is hired by the city.
Have you ever seen contract help for a city? Every one of them are private people that come in.
Yeah,
they work
I'm not
under
saying
contract.
That, but okay. They represent the contractor first and
no,
foremost.
No, not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Okay. No.
Well, yeah, okay, so
I'm
we may have
Richard,
to.
I disagree.
We have okay. Maybe we have to agree to disagree. Your point is duly noted.
Okay.
I think you can put any questions. I will agree with Steve on that. Questions, same thing from finance last time. Barbara, give me the questions in writing, which we will. It makes it a little easier to respond, and you have
well,
a record.
I've sat in their place. I've sat on these mm-hmm. boards, and. The one thing when you come into these meetings, Richard, is if you got questions to ask, I write these people in advance. I
yes.
think Barbara writes these people mm-hmm. in advance. You walk in, and you just throw stuff at them, and they're not able to respond to you, and it looks like, I hate to say, it feels like you're trying to make them look inept, and that's not the case. And that bothers me. It really does. And I'm sorry. I've been in their position, Richard,
yeah.
So I can honestly appreciate when people get a hold of me in advance, ask these questions so that when they come into the meeting, they can give you a respectful answer. I'm sorry. That's my feeling.
No, thank you. And also, not to belabor the point, but recently Sandra from City Finance has been assigned to the WHRF program as the designated finance liaison.
And that's
so,
exactly what Craig told me, and
yeah.
I didn't want to request a meeting from her during the holiday break,
right.
But I will be requesting to meet with her and go over some of these points.
And a lot of that's based on the feedback here in the meetings,
mm-hmm.
too,
mm-hmm.
is that we want to make sure that finance is in lockstep with what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And where Sandra comes in that I don't is she has auditing experience. So she knows mm-hmm. as she's reviewing what I send her as, and I'm an engineering project manager. I mean, that's what I do. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know. But as I'm sending her information, it's been great because the back and forth has been really helpful. She's asked questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about how we're storing things, where we're keeping them. She's also going to be involved with this quarterly budget cycle or review
exactly.
that we're talking about. And the reason it takes is we want to make sure that's right before we send it out. And we want to make sure we've got all the up-to-date information. But that's going to be really key. We've met with Craig Schmollinger.
Mm-hmm.
He sits in on our program meetings. He sat in on our last one a few weeks ago to provide input from finance. So we're working very closely with them so that they can cover all the specialties that we don't, and vice versa.
Right. No, thank you. We appreciate that. We realize that. And we also recognize we have a finance director for the city that retired after umpteen years. So we have to, these new people were just recently joined the staff, and I was trying to give them a little bit of transition period. Now we're in the new year, I think, as several of us said, we're going to work together and try to improve this budget reporting. So thank you very much. Okay, anything else on B1?
Not for me.
All right, moving on to B2, the request for proposal engineering services for the lift station Force Main and Brine wet weather disposal pipeline. Mike, would you like to start on that? I don't know if you have a presentation or anything.
Yes, Madam Chair. So I've got a PowerPoint presentation that just walks through the staff report. We'll walk through this. First, the recommendation is that the advisory committee receive and consider the draft request for proposals, that the committee consider appointing possibly as many as 3 members to assist with proposal review, as we've done with, or as the council and WRFCAC did with the RFP for program management for our services back last year, a year and a half ago now, as was done with ESA with their contract, and also the facility master plan. And then also receive any questions and comments you may have on the draft RFP. So per the city's selection, or per the city's professional services process, this RFP does not go back to council for release. It can be released, and then the final recommendations and final agreement and proposal will come back to council after staff's recommended a designer. So some background, as you all know, WRF requires what we call the off-site components. So these are basically the components that aren't going to be right on the South Bay Boulevard site. It will include the lift station, the raw wastewater force main that we've discussed, and as you recall, we looked at alignments going up Quintana Road. We also looked at an overland alignment on the east side of Highway 1. And then also what we call the brine or wet weather discharge pipeline back down to the ocean outfall. The draft facility master plan provides some preliminary evaluation criteria and also some for selecting consultants and also some of the design criteria. Preliminary evaluation and design criteria for the lift station and also for the force main.
Ask one quick question before you go on?
Sure.
You talk about the recycled water pipeline not included. Could the discharge pipeline, that brine wet weather one, be used to haul the water back to the Moro Valley for injection back?
That's a good question. The challenge will be anything we do to provide recycled water to somebody is going to require some sort of salt removal because the TDS is so high.
Oh, okay.
So anything we do, we've got a brine discharge that has to go somewhere.
Oh.
So we see this as a pipeline that would convey brine, and also if we got in a situation where
so it's
we were
strictly
water
brine,
safely,
it's not just the effluent from the
correct.
Plant. Okay,
that's
gotcha.
Correct.
You know, on a follow up on that, the discharge, the brine part, is that part of that brine coming from the desal plant that you're going to go through the outfall?
It wouldn't.
How? Because Cayucas had a real issue with any kind of brine discharge. Because they share that line at it, I think it's, 60-40?
Right. I guess right.
So have we talked to Cayucas about how they feel about us dumping brine through that desal?
Well, we will be talking with them about it. One, you know, my understanding is that related to the city water treatment plant, the city water, the desalination plant. And what we're talking about doing is replacing having a much lower percentage of brine flow going out through that pipeline than currently goes out from the existing wastewater plant. So it's a little different animal from what had been proposed years ago. As part of the city water plan, I believe, the city had talked to Cayucas about tying in the brine discharge many years ago. And
well, the issue is that the regional board allowed the city to dump their brine through the PG&E outfall, but that was
correct.
When the plant was still operational and there was a mixing going on and a dilution factor. So as of right now, we have a brine discharge issue as a city, don't we?
Well, you currently discharge the same location you have, and that's that PG&E
outfall. Yeah, without
outfall.
The mix, right?
Well, there's natural mixing that takes place in that channel.
But
you're right, there's no flow coming from,
right.
No coming from PG&E.
Okay.
But that's still permitted for discharge, and it's still used when the plant runs.
Go ahead.
Okay, sorry.
So the pipeline alignment, as proposed, the alignment would generally follow Quintana Road. The conclusion was that was lower cost, less environmental impact, and more energy efficient than running on the east side of Highway 1. And, you know, we discussed and when Paul was here that, you know, generally you would think, well, building pipelines overland would be much less expensive than building them in a busy street like a Quintana Road. A couple of the challenges, though, are over on the east side of the highway, we have several coastal streams that we have to cross. And crossing those without employing horizontal directional drill techniques, getting permitted for that is really challenging. And these days, the assumption is that you're going to have to use a very expensive crossing technique to get across those coastal drainages. So even though we have pavement repair and rehab, and we have utility conflicts in Quintana Road, the budget currently is based on a pipeline in Quintana Road looking at all those parameters.
So you're looking at physically putting it between the curbs as opposed to just in the right of way at Quintana, outside the paved section? Is that
in some cases it could be outside of the paved road, but in some cases it'll be in it. That's part of what the designer will need to do for us, is nail that down.
Oh, okay. Are you honestly seeing this as going to be a shoring operation? Is this a deep level pipe, or because it's pressure, is it going to be close to the surface?
It'll be pressurized the whole way.
Right.
So we should be able to maintain, I think the facility master plan looks at 4 or 5 foot of cover on it.
Oh, okay. So it's not a shoring where you're taking out half the street trying to make this happen.
There'll be quite a bit of pipeline there, because we're going to look at both of these pipes running together. The fairly large diameter pipes, it will take up a good part of the street cross section.
Oh, okay. So we could be seeing Quintana down for a while.
Parts of it could be, but not all. And part of the traffic control and the phasing is going to be going to be one of the things the designer helps us with.
Okay, because I can't remember the width of the street, but I just wondered if you were trying to minimize the traffic impacts, because I see this taking quite a while to make that pipeline run down that road.
And I'd also like to point out that this is the kind of discussion that the environmental impact report is going to look at too.
I realize, just in the preliminary phase, I'm just asking if this has been, thought out at all. Okay, thank you.
It's something when we were working with Black and Veatch on the facility master plan, we pulled a lot of utility information for them out of the city's GIS, and we also called and requested utility schematics so that we could try to determine how feasible this, because the utility conflicts are 90% of the effort on a pipeline job. So we wanted to make sure we could do it. And what they did is we worked together with them on that to confirm that we can get this in the street. Some areas we won't be in the street. A good section of it could run along, some of the bike path Lila area. So it's not all Quintana Road, although it is a good section of Quintana. And there may be areas that we can come outside the paved section too, and that's where the detailed design will come into play.
Are you guys favoring this because of your concerns of using the boring and fracking out underneath a creek? Is that what you're concerned about?
Well, a couple challenges on the east side are, first, getting easements the whole route is one challenge. Second, the elevation is considerably higher over on the east side of the highway than it is on Quintana, so we have to pump to a higher elevation to get over that. I think the elevation difference, and Eileen Shields is here with our office, what was it about? Yeah, I was thinking 30 to 50 feet somewhere in that neighborhood higher over on the east side.
But if you're boring.
Well, but if you don't want to bore, 50 feet below grade, if you can help it. It just gets really expensive. So then those coastal streams I mentioned, there are several of those. We talked to the biologist about what's the best way to traverse those. The biologist, Kevin Burke, his input was, you need to assume you're going to go HDD across those and you're not going to have any trenching or any impact. That really drives the cost up, even compared to running a pipe in a street in Quintana.
I don't know about that. I mean, if you I drilled underneath a creek there, and if you slip, if you put in I didn't do it, but I was the environmental monitor on that job, and you put in a sleeve, and then you go underneath
casing pipe. Yeah.
And that's kind of like a dual. It helps with the leak, leak detection system, which still hasn't been addressed, right?
I think he's saying the boring jack is a lot more expensive than open cuttings.
Yeah.
I think Valerie had a comment.
Yes.
It sounds like you're going to be using the entirety of the road for the pipes.
Not the entire. It won't be the entirety of the road.
So are you planning to keep one lane open?
That would likely be a requirement, is we'd have to keep at least a lane open.
Okay.
But part of that's got to be worked out. John talked about the EIR. Traffic impact's a big deal on this project as a whole, so we'll work through some of that in the EIR, and then also the detail. One of the biggest challenges on this project is traffic control during construction.
Because it seems to me that what's the diameter? How many pipes are you going to be putting back and forth, and then eventually recycling, and but we don't have to worry about that right now. But
well, the in yeah. the thought is, depending on where the it, a lot of it depends on what the final reuse option is, and where, let's say if it's injection wells, let's say if it's some kind of an exchange with ag, we may come back and say we want that pipe to be on the east side of the highway. Maybe that makes more sense, depending on where we're going. Because if we're crossing the highway, if we're trying to get into Upper Moore Valley, let's say with injection wells or whatever, I don't know that we want to cross the highway twice. It may not make sense.
I'm wondering, what's the width of the roadway?
Let's see.
I'm wondering if you really can put a construction crew, excavation machinery, and put in your pipes without closing chunks of the highway at a time. That's the entirety. And I guess where I'm going is,
I'm sorry, you mean the highway
or the roadway?
Quintana.
Not the highway.
It's okay.
The without closing the roadway itself. And so what I'm wondering about, are you contemplating night construction and then putting plates back on? Because there's a significant number of businesses that if we're mm-hmm. constructing during the daytime, those businesses will be, you know, impacted.
That's going to be really important to take into account. What I would say is those types of things will be reflected in the specifications.
Okay.
We could cover that there.
Well, it'll have to be in the environmental document.
Right.
I think one thing is it's a single loaded road, so all the businesses are on one side of the street.
Yeah,
so I assume you're going to cheat, I'll say, to the east side of Quintana just to keep it open for the businesses at hand.
Yeah.
Is that a safe bet?
Force mains there.
What was it?
It's force mains there from the other lift station.
Oh.
Yeah, but your point's a good one, and it's the type of thing that we definitely work out during final design, because part of that will affect where we cross the road. Because if we get in front of some of these businesses, we may want to move onto a different side of the road, or we may want to be right in front of them and just do the night work.
Yeah, I think that you will have to address construction impacts in your environmental document, and one of the construction impacts would be closing the road, working at night. What would the impacts be working at night? Those kinds of things. So. Anyway, it's just a thought.
It's also a fair discussion to say what the environmental impacts would be on the other alignment, so the public can get a comparative feel for what the trade-offs are. And I think that's something we're thinking about for the EIR as well.
Those are good comments. So the other piece of this are the lift station site alternatives. So the conclusion in facility master plan and some of the workshops we had here was that the locations near the existing wastewater plant would be the most efficient and would be the least expensive. Floodplain issues need to be mitigated at any of the locations and flood risk. In California, the Coastal Commission has been supportive of any of the locations we've looked at. They understand what we're going through and the challenges that we need to be near the end of the collection system where you have multiple pipes coming in this location. We need to be near there to have a cost-effective lift station.
Do you have that in writing from the Coastal Commission that they're supportive of a lift station there?
Not yet, but part of what we need to do with the coastal development permit is that, you know, until we submit a CDP application or until they've responded to the EIR, we don't get formal comments. But there has been consultation. John, maybe you can chime in on some of this.
Sure. You know, the city does meet as staff to staff with coastal staff roughly once a month, and as recently as October in the meeting with them that really Scott Graham led, that these were questions that we worked out with Scott that related to coastal input. And and it's not new from them, from the staff level, to have expressed support. And we're trying to be as specific with them as possible. And they're, in a nutshell, they're being supportive with us. They also have to remain somewhat non-committal until we have something formal to submit. It goes through the coastal development permitting process. So it's been good. We don't have anything specifically in writing on those points yet.
Go ahead.
So to give a quick overview of the RFP, the main design tasks really in the RFP are coordination for selection of the final lift station location, and that's going to require input from public, input from city staff, and also coordination with the EIR. Hydraulic analysis to determine what that final pump design should look like. The pump selection, other details are things related to what we call the wet well or the pit where the wastewater flows in and the pumps sit. Design of the control building, odor control, design of the backup power supply. Also, another piece I'd add to that is flood proofing or flood recovery for the backup power supply. That's another thing that's real important. Pipeline alignment, so verifying that where we're going to put the pipeline. Design of the force main and then design of the brine discharge pipeline. So these are some of the bullets that this designer will be responsible for. The deliverables they'll provide. The main deliverables will be a site alternative study to finalize selection of the lift station site. We narrowed it down to a couple in the facility master plan. Concept design report that presents the 30% level of design, detailed cost opinions, the 60 and 90% draft plans, specifications, and cost opinions, and then the final plans, specifications, and cost opinions that become a bid package so we can go out and bid for contractors.
So you see this not just as preliminary design. This is the finished product as far as the design.
Yes, sir.
So,
and our recommendation to the city would be have one designer start and take it all the way through.
And just because I'll be honest, I didn't get a chance to go through everything on this, Mike. Are you looking at a submersible pump design, or is it a wet well, dry well situation, or has that even been considered yet?
We're going to leave that to the designer.
Oh, okay.
But
I could make a comment on
sure.
that. Submersible pumps are used pretty much extensively these days. I don't know, maybe you don't know, but I'm a grade 4 wastewater collection. That's the highest you can get for a certificate. And the main reason why is because the confined space issues and maintenance issues and the dangers with that. So
you see it as probably submersible.
Yeah, well, I don't see a lift station there because I don't think that it makes any sense.
So
I think
could,
we could build a plant there if we're going to put in a lift station of that size.
And just so you know, that's just based on what facility master planners came up with for the budget. So it could change depending on what the final design is. But like Richard said, that's the bulk of my experience in terms of designing new lift stations has been submersible pumps. So, and you might see, Black and Veatch had anticipated that there could be a combination there just for budgeting purposes. So the overview of the schedule, so goal is to release the RFP 3 weeks from today. Schedule consultant interviews towards the middle of March. A lot of that depends on the availability of our reviewers. And the consultant selection or council approval, we're looking at April, and notice to proceed issued soon after. Final concept design report, June of 2018. So about a year out to get, and that gives them time to get input from the EIR. That gives us time to work through any easement issues that are going to arise as they always do, and also to work with Caltrans on the crossing, the highway crossing in particular.
And I also note what's not in here in that spot is the EIR itself.
Mm-hmm.
The draft EIR would be out in August of 2017 with the final in November 2017. So you can see how it plays into consultant is selected. They can do some preliminary work, but it really needs the EIR to be finished for them to start putting together their real detailed reports and designs.
That's similar to a question I had, is basically how difficult would it be to incorporate changes in this if for any reason the South Bay Boulevard site were not, selected?
Well, there's a lot of that. That's a big open-ended question.
Okay.
It really depends on what comes out of the EIR process.
Okay.
I mean, for example, if there was something fatally flawed about this, we'd have to rethink some things fundamentally. We feel we're on the right path, but we don't know that till we go through the EIR
okay.
process.
So you're planning for that, and your timing of these is basically the best. All right, thank
That's
you.
Correct. So can, completion of the construction documents in the bid package for the lift station in Force Main and Bryant Pipeline would be December 2018, bid opening March 2019, and construction completed September 2020. Now, one of the reasons we've laid out the schedule like this is because we want that construction process to align well with the design build that would be done separately at the lift station site. The last thing you want is a pipeline and lift station with nowhere to go. So we want to make sure that the two are going to require coordination. It's going to be part of our role is making sure we define where their pipe ends, where the plant designer picks up, and also defining what the commissioning looks like for both projects. So that kind of lays out the timeline. So some financial considerations too. There's a little more detail, a little more background here than what's in the staff report, but I wanted to talk a few minutes about it. So the facility master plan had estimated a construction cost of about $10.5 million for the lift station and pipelines. That's from the facility master plan. Design budget of around 10 or 12% is typically what we'll assume for 10 or 12% of construction costs. Engineering services during construction, that's another service that's added on to design, and that's where the engineer that designs it, they'll respond to change orders. They'll provide design revisions to if there are any kind of unforeseen field conditions. So you keep that designer under contract through the construction phase to help with construction issues, to review all the different pieces of equipment the contractor is going to put in, make sure they comply with the contract documents, perform some site visits. That usually runs up about 2 or 3% of construction costs, roughly. And then, therefore, a budget of, say, 12 to 15%, $1.2 to $1.6 million, we feel is appropriate. Now, that can vary a little bit depending on what ultimately they wind up proposing to do. But the city budgeted $1.4 million for lift station design in this fiscal year. So this fiscal year budget is $1.4 million. So we have that. And then design cost is going to be one of the selection criteria for the consultants. It's not going to be the only one because we want a qualified consultant, but one of the things they'll need to do is provide a cost proposal with their proposal. So I'll leave it on here for a minute in case you all have any questions.
I want to make sure I understand that. Sure. Are you saying then the real budget would be 10.5 plus 1.2 to 1.6?
The 10.5 is construction for the lift station.
Okay.
So that doesn't come into play until we get to 2020.
Regardless, but it's still a cost of the project. And then
that's
you have
correct.
To add this other stuff, the 10% and the engineering?
The lift station itself, the design of the lift station,
okay.
is that would be, so this RFP that we're going to release is just for design of the lift station.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Not, no construction. Construction is going to be a separate process, that
okay.
selection. So it'll go out to, like the normal city projects, it'll
okay.
go out to a request for bidders, and
okay.
contractors will respond to that a couple years down the road.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So next steps is get any input you all have on the draft RFP. Part of what we can do, too, in the RFP is emphasize that traffic control is going to be an issue. We want to make sure that's covered well. We point to the facility master plan, and that's discussed in there, but we can always make it more explicit because I think that's real important. And we also would like to ask the advisory committee to appoint, anywhere up to 3 members to help review the design proposals, attend the interviews, and provide input to the selection. That was really valuable for the last major consultant selections that we did on this.
And will that include that team evaluating proposals? I read in here it'll include maybe city staff or city council members?
That's
well,
what it will include is city staff will be involved, and I'll be involved too.
Okay.
In the selection process. So it'd be to sit on a panel with me, Rob, likely someone else from city staff.
Okay.
And participate in that committee with us.
Okay. Thank you.
And then also, the design proposal itself will come back to WRFCAC for review. So we'll want your input on that, too, once that's agreed upon, to provide input to council on it.
When did you want input on the draft RFP?
Anytime between, ideally, if we could get it, and I know we hit everybody with this right before the holidays, if we could get comments back from you all by the end of next week, that would be great, if possible. That'd be really helpful. And what we can do is incorporate that, because the RFP, we want to release it by the 24th, and I wanted to give you all some time to look at it and think about it. And
could I make a comment?
Sure.
In regards to the RFP, I guess my main concern is it's being offered without benefit of information pertaining to potential sensitive environmental issues, and those issues could impact design activities and timeline. As I stated at our previous meeting, there may be sensitive locations associated with the preferred pipeline route, the West Alternative. These include at least one archaeological site and biological resources associated with crossing Morrow Creek. In addition, the culvert at Main and Quintana, which collects water from the south side of Highway 1, may also yield biological or wetland resources. We are in the coastal zone, and the coastal only requires one parameter. I understand that the current RFP will address utility conflicts to the use of potholing, which had been a previous concern of mine. In thinking about it a little bit more and my thoughts about Quintana Road, particularly once you start heading down the hill, it's not a very wide road, and it falls off to the south. I mean, there's a drainage ditch to the south, a willow line ditch. And so I'm a little worried about workspace, and I know that you'll figure it all out. but that south side is willow lined, and it's a willow line drainage, and that could also be construed as wetland. So I'm just saying that we're going out there and they're going to start developing this final design, basically making the getting ready for final design, and without environmental information, which could potentially affect that alignment or how they actually do the work.
Well,
just,
those are,
just
those,
a thought.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And those are good comments. Part of what we've done with the concept, with the schedule, is allowed time. So we have between when the EIR is certified, and as part of the EIR, you know, there will be cultural studies along, you know, biological studies along the pipeline corridors, that we will have 6 months between when the EIR is 7 months from when the EIR is certified and when the final concept design report's due. So that gives time for the designer to incorporate whatever comes out of the EIR, get their concept design wrapped up. A lot of the work they'll be doing on the front end will be to work with us on the highway crossings, determine where they should go. And so they'll be doing, and also doing work on the lift station, but on the pipeline itself, I think what you're talking about there is exactly what we've had in mind with the schedule, is that really that environmental study has to be done, or the environmental work has to be done before we nail down that pipeline corridor.
Yes, and if your preferred alignment does involve sensitive resources, really the whole schedule is sort of predicated on the idea that we would never need to go beyond a phase one inventory for cultural resources, or consultations will be fairly straightforward, whether it's for biology or cultural. That may or may not be the case. And as soon as we, you know, I just feel it's important that we find out as soon as possible, because for me, when I look at that schedule, that's the best case scenario. I know that there was a pretty quick turnaround once Los Osos, that once the county took over the environmental document, but they had already completed so many of the technical studies, so that by the time they got to it, all they had to do was pretty much synthesize the work that had been done. I mean, the technical work had basically been completed except for some supplemental sorts of things. But so they had a pretty fast turnaround in terms of between draft and final. But I don't know if that's going to be the case for us.
Well, one thing that is going to be the
just
case
my,
is,
yeah.
No, it's a good point. We are actively getting our environmental team working on this question right now. We would expect to have pretty good technical data in place probably by the time that a consultant is selected for this. So by the time they actually start their work, we should have some of that technical information, even if it's not been released to the public yet, because the draft EIR won't come out till August, but a lot of that work has to be started right now.
the April date, that would, yeah, at least if we know what's out there.
Mike, I have a quick question. At the end of this attachment, you have an elevation certification letter from Mike Stanton. Is that anything to do with this project?
It looked like a miss.
Must be a misprint.
Sheet got stapled
yeah,
in.
Yeah, it looks like they did some elevations.
This is on a private residence.
So I just want to make sure it had nothing to do with it.
I think something accidentally got stapled in there.
Yeah, it looks like a private residence.
Yep.
Thanks.
Any other comments? Go ahead, Mike. Is that?
That's it.
That's it? Okay, so to summarize, thank you. And you would like us to have any comments to you by next?
I think
Friday.
He also wants to pick people. Are you
if,
looking
if you
for
all
that?
Could also, yeah, kind of talk amongst yourselves, and if, you know, if we could get
okay,
a
so
few members, that'd be great.
Let's talk amongst ourselves.
I'll say one thing. I don't mind doing it. I've sat on several. I actually sat on the one for Mike Nunley and John Rickenbach, as well as Black and Beach. I don't mind doing it. If somebody else wants to do it, I'm more than happy to, because I've had my chance. And
I would certainly consider you qualified based on all the questions, and I'd like to ask Valerie if she's interested. And I can't do it. I'm too committed with the other committee. Dale said no. I don't think we have a no here, and I don't think we can assign anybody. But
we can since they're not here.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Everybody who isn't.
I think initially if we could get Steve and Val to do it, and then if we get a...
You were looking in the April time frame, it looked like, based
yeah.
on your...
Yes, sir.
Val, you're okay with that?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
okay, so thank you very much, and we'll ask the other candidates. Maybe we'll get somebody else, and if not, we'll have two.
I assume we have two more meetings probably before
and we don't. Yeah. We don't necessarily need three. I thought up to three.
You said up to three, so,
be,
right, yeah.
So
we just want. That's why I was asking if there's another, if there's a whole team, and it sounds.
I
like
know
it
Paul
is,
Donnelly so. A lot of times he sat on him with. Me,
yeah.
So.
When do you want your comments on the RFP and by what date?
Be great if we could get those by next Friday. Which
that was
the
13th, I believe.
13th.
13th. Mm-hmm. And I should have put that on there, but.
Okay, so everybody has that? Any comments back to Mike Nunley, correct?
Yes.
Okay, on Friday, next Friday, January 13th, and then for now we'll assume these two, and then the next meeting maybe we can see if there's somebody else who really wants to join the committee. That would be good. Okay, so this is a receive and file, and you've had our comments, so we'll accept that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you ask someone to see if the public...
Oh, was there any public comment on? I thought I'd asked on B2 or B3. Okay, thanks. Thank you, Steve. So that brings us to B3, contract amendment for program management services. And this is.
Where do you go?
Mike, do you want to start with it? Do you have something there for that as well?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Can
Thank
I
you.
Ask a quick question before you start?
Sure.
Is this asking for more monies or just extending what's already in the contract?
So the contract for program management services with the city right now is an 8-year agreement.
Right.
Goes through 2023. And so the request, the way the contract's set up is it was envisioned on roughly an annual time frame as we would come back and ask for authorization for the next year work. So that's really what this is. So it is an amendment, but it's intended to, you know, a year at a time, us come back and ask council for the next authorization.
And that's in the terms and conditions. I'll have some comments on that. So why don't we let Mike go ahead, and then we'll ask him some questions.
Okay. So a quick overview. We'll give a recommendation, some background, an overview of the scope of work, summary of the existing and the proposed budget for program management services, and talk about some of the next steps. So the recommendation from staff is receive and consider the draft scope and budget for the contract amendment and provide comments to council. So the program management contract between the city and MKN extends through December 31st, 2023, And the agreement states, it's anticipated that this contract will be amended on an annual basis, and the contract amount will be increased by the amount authorized through the city's budgeting process. Now, the intention is that's not an automatic step. It still goes back to city council, but that was the intended direction of the contract. The contract amendment is within the city's fiscal year budget for the water reclamation facility. So the city had budgeted $900,000 for program management, and then $300,000 for bridging and procurement documents through the end of this fiscal year, so through the next 6 months. So our program management services that we've invoiced just within this fiscal year to date is about $309,000. The remaining PM budget is $890,000 based on that. So if you take that $1.2 million, the 900 plus the 300,000, and you subtract off the 310,000 we've invoiced for the first half of the fiscal year, that gets to the 890,000. And so it's anticipated that actually the fees for these tasks that we're talking about are going to extend through the end of December 2017. What we've tried to do is put budgets together for the tasks that'll extend through the end of the task, not just through the end of the fiscal year, because it doesn't make sense to stop work on something arbitrarily at the end of the fiscal year. So what we've done is we've presented, for example, the design build procurement process. That design build procurement process is going to take us through, roughly not this coming spring, but the following spring. And so we've got the full budget in there for that, even though it doesn't cleanly end at the end of the calendar year. And then additional funding authorized from this amendment budget would be incorporated into the FY17-18 budget.
So if I can stop you right there to make sure we understand this. The $1.2 million referred to in the first couple of bullets are just for this current fiscal year, which expires June 30th.
That's correct.
The additional funds asked for this, that is just for the next 6 months from July to December, or is that overlap this fiscal year and half of next?
So what that does is that goes through basically through the end of the calendar year. So that goes through the end of this fiscal year.
And half of next.
Half the next, and then some of it will keep extending
okay.
just because
okay.
it's the nature of that task.
Okay.
Do you see yourself on track for where you thought you would be as far as costs go?
Yes, okay. We do. The program management contract was signed on August 12, 2015, so all our works proceeded within scope and the budget. In November 2016, we worked with the city on what we call Contract Amendment 1. Contract Amendment 1 just reallocated dollars between the task groups, and that was to account for additional work we needed to do with outreach, siting studies, and so that was approved by the city manager. But we didn't request for any more money. We just asked, can we just move money around to more efficiently work with what we've got? And that allowed us to continue through the draft facility master plan and the concurrent planning activities with no changes in that initial budget authorization. So the proposed scope of work, program management support for the following major program tasks. So this would take us through completion and certification of the draft environmental impact report, continuation of outreach related to the EIR, to the master water reclamation plan, also to the rate study update, management of all the city's consultants, selection, evaluation, procurement, and then management of the designer for the lift station and pipelines. That's the RFP we discussed just now. Development of the preliminary design specifications, the requirements and the performance criteria for the request for proposal for the design build teams for the wharf itself. And then ongoing wharf CAC and city council communication and meeting support, management of the program budget and schedule, engagement in the city fiscal year budgeting, regular outreach to city residents and the public, and we talk about the use of the e-blasts, quarterly postcards or direct mailers. The direct mailer seemed to have been the most effective outreach we did. And it cost about, I want to say, $2,500 or $2,800
yeah,
or something
Rob
like
said
that
in the past,
to mail it.
Yeah.
But it was much more valuable than a lot of the other things we did. And if you keep the postcard short and small, folks seem to respond well to it. So I don't know that we've budgeted the site to either do that or to or to send direct mailers in the water bills, depending on what the topics might be. Then development of the detailed quarterly budget reports for Wharf CAC and Council. So there are seven task groups that we had anticipated in our original contract, and that we are continuing to carry now. So when you see us talk about, a lot of this we never talk about at Wharf CAC meetings, but when you say discussion about task group 100, 200, here's how we've got it split out. So task group 100 is program administration, 200 is preliminary planning, 300 is preliminary engineering and procurement, 400 is design, 500 is project construction, that's a future task, facility startup testing and commissioning, future, and then operation and project closeout is future. So our initial and proposed budgets, our initial authorization, and this is, the total was $920,808. We reallocated money through Contract Amendment 1. It was approved by the city manager. And so, you know, we had $400,000 for the admin, $430,000 for preliminary planning, $44,000 for preliminary engineering and procurement. In Contract Amendment, this Contract Amendment 2, we're asking for another $1.26. And this extends, again, the, what we looked at were tasks that were likely going to start within the next calendar year. And so the total requested authorization brings it to a $2.1 million authorization. You know, and again, the goal with this is each year we come back, we scope out what's going to be done in the next year, because the conditions can change, the project parameters can change until we get through this planning process and we have the EIR done, but you know, future authorizations will address the remainder of the program. So in terms of the budget status, you know, that initial authorization of $920,800 was intended to extend really to August 2016. That was really only intended to run for a year. Budget review and new authorization had been scheduled for the end of FY15-16, and then the thought was some tasks like meetings, et cetera, would extend through August 2016. So we reallocated the budget, and we were able to extend it through the end of this year. Master Reclamation Plan is still within that current authorization. So we're not asking for more money for the Master Reclamation Plan. We're going to keep working within that, you know, roughly $200,000 we've got, or $130,000 we've got left in the current authorization to finish that and other tasks. And at this time, we've invoiced about $309,000, so 34% of our budget just for this, for through this fiscal year. Let's see. So, and I'm sure you're going to have questions. We've got a very detailed scope of work and budget. I just wanted to kind of give a quick overview of some key items. But, you know, our next steps would be review the drafts. You all provide any comments you can to us or comments for council. In city council, I believe it's scheduled for January 24th to go to council.
So when do you need our comments?
I would say that, you know, the goal would be, you know, anytime between, I would say really on this one, what do you think, Sean?
Well, I'm going to guess that the council's packet's going to need to be to them a little more than a week in advance. So that means somewhere before the 17th, which means your comments by the end of next week would
the 13th,
be ideal.
The same day. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I have a comment.
Sure.
Something that's kind of been on my mind. Comment two, or this is my second comment actually. Attachment one, amendment two. Task, I think it's 1041. When you're discussing the general plan, local coastal plan coordination, it states that JFR will work with city staff and the general plan, local coastal plan consultant team to most efficiently coordinate outreach programs and address future growth. I encourage JFR and the city to carefully examine any proposed open space land use in the vicinity of the South Bay Boulevard site and whether the proposed open space would affect future construction of a maintenance yard and development of on-site energy sources such as solar panels. it's just something in the back of my mind that you need to be really cognizant of the development of open space as part of this, the general plan and local coastal plan development, and how that could affect future development out there.
That's a good comment. I'm taking notes on that right now.
Mike, so none of this additional, the request for the 1.26 mil, none of that is included in the original 900?
No, that's correct.
Okay. And then when you or anyone sends your subs, send the invoices, do they reference the contract number or is it just the task number? What's on those invoices?
They'll reference the task group number for me and the task number. So mm-hmm. if you see a task 302 or 301,
right.
those consultants are sending us their charges to that task group. Mm-hmm. So what I'll provide to the city with our invoices is I include the invoices of every sub-consultant working for me in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also include a status report up front that says everything we did this period. I submit with a summary table that shows mm-hmm. what's been – we split out each task group as a separate invoice just mm-hmm. to make it easier for tracking. And we have a fourth invoice that's just master reclamation plan mm-hmm. to make it easier for the city's grant tracking that is a grant-funded project.
So as an example, if you got an invoice for task item 302 or whatever, how do you know that invoice, or do you know, or do you even need to know, that invoice was for contract amendment 1, part of the original 900K, 1000, or part of contract 2, the 1.26 million, or is it irrelevant?
So for us, the thing I would say is we would it wouldn't matter for us for mm-hmm. most of these tasks. Now the distinction is some tasks are new that are just starting.
Mm-hmm.
So
it'd be obvious
that that one wasn't there before.
So the real proof of the pudding will be in the quarterly reports, and maybe someday those will be monthly, but right now the quarterly reports, you would have those task lines summarized and you'd know where you are today versus the budget.
That's right. Well, and the thing I would say is for the other, there are our subs that work for us that we manage tightly,
mm-hmm.
and we report their financials directly as part of our invoice.
Okay.
But then there are all the other consultants mm-hmm. whose information we enter separately in Procore. So okay. Procore gets one MKN invoice, or they get four MKN invoices each month. They get what we send to the city. That includes John's time. That includes any other subs, RRM, anybody else working for us. We're one row in that Procore report, that second page of the quarterly budget report. And then all those other city consultants, they all have their own contracts in Procore where we track their invoices.
But to use a practical, your question relates directly to someone like me. When I submit invoices to Mike as a subcontractor to Mike, I have, my scope of work dovetails into his from the task perspective,
mm-hmm.
and so far we've been dealing with the first year, so it's been simple enough, but now that we're getting into another year, so I'm going to have to manage that internally, and I'll note that on my invoices to Mike,
mm-hmm.
which he'll carry forward in his reporting.
That's why I'm asking, because the first year that's right. clean, but then you can see how this could become very convoluted very quickly. And is the Procore system of any help in any of my questions, or...
For my sub-consultants,
yeah.
I have an accounting system that we use for mm-hmm. our own timesheets and processing and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I produce an invoice and take the information, the summaries out of that invoice, and put it in Procore. So the Procore information doesn't have all of that detail. It doesn't have the timesheets for my staff or any of that other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions, comments?
One comment. If we should lose our city manager, he did play a very strong role in getting the word out with his summary in the Bay News. And I'm wondering if the city will pick up, somebody else in the city will pick up the slack, or if the consultants will do that. I think he provided a great service to the residents of this community by summarizing what had been accomplished and future directions, where we're going, things like that. And I know I read all of his articles. I've saved them for archives. And so I'm hoping that that avenue too will continue, will be explored if we lose our manager.
Yeah, and the thing I would say is city manager put those together. A lot of times we'd provide him technical information or background that he might need for it, and provide input on those. I would assume that's still how it would go. I mean, I think those are most powerful really coming from city staff. I mean, we're glad to help and provide support. But, you know, I think it was one of the reasons it was really was because it was from the city manager. You know, I think that meant a lot to folks.
Richard, any comments?
Closing comments?
No. I'm not done here. So.
Okay.
So I want to ask just a few questions, and then I'll follow up in writing. Mike, who are you negotiating this with? Is it the city staff? This is your proposal and your contract, and we'll get our comments back, et cetera. But who on the city negotiates?
This was negotiated with Rob Leibig.
Okay.
Already.
Okay.
So his comments are already, reviewed.
And who do we send our comments to? You and Rob both, or?
You send it to both of us would be fine.
So I have maybe two or three.
Sure.
Points real quick, just to give you a heads up. So in section 5A, where the city, this is page 2 of 8 in the attachment 2, this talks about payment, okay? And then the first paragraph says this will be in accordance with the payment rates, terms, and schedule of payment as set forth in attachment A. But I didn't see attachment A attached here too. I'm sure we saw it on the first contract. So have those rates increased this year from what was in attachment A rates when you did the initial
contract? They did. These will be the 2017 rates, whereas those were, I believe, 2015 rates.
Okay. Is there an approximation of what that increase was? Do you know?
So we went from, let's see. The rates, I want to say, in the neighborhood of 3 to 5% went up
annually, over since 2 years.
Totally, roughly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they went across.
It's in
all
that neighborhood, depending on what the staff
designation
was.
When I looked at the blended rate, it looked higher than what I. That's why I'm asking
question. Yep.
Okay, so that's one question.
And it would be. But one thing I did want to point out is we also did not increase our rates in 2016. So even though the work extended farther into 2016, we didn't feel, we kind of felt like with the delays and everything,
this is the first increase
this
in the
rates. This is the first
increase
we've had
in
a year and a half, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, that's.
So it's a little higher, it's probably around 5%, but normally it's about, 2 or 3%, something like that a year.
Might be a little higher than COLA annually, but if you look over the 2 years, that's.
Right.
Okay, well noted, thank you. All right, so last time we discussed again about the invoices and how long it was taking, and one of our members said, this has been several months, why is this happening? And we had a good discussion on that. But I don't see anything in Section 5 about the timeliness or the data that's on the invoices, and my opinion would be this would be the time to put that kind of detail in there. Is there... anything you can, for instance, what I've used in contracts is if you don't invoice within 90 days, they're not valid invoices, unless mutually agreed circumstances, maybe, something's coming late. But that's my opinion. I don't know what others think, but I think now is the time. Or if you're not seeing, or Rob Leivick is not seeing enough detail. It sounds like he is to approve everything, but typically we put right in our contracts exactly what has to be on that invoice, and then there's no questions. So, I'll send you some comments for what it's worth.
Okay. And I'd be fine agreeing to that. I mean, I'd be fine agreeing to the 90 day, because this again would be for our contract.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe there are provisions here too that we would want to make sure.
Oh, I think they should be used. Yes.
Other consultants.
Exactly.
Contract.
And my comments are actually when I ask about rates and that, they are not specific to yours. It's just we happen to be evaluating your contract, and it's a large one now, and I think
sure.
These are fair questions, and
absolutely.
They should be included in our contracts. Okay, so the other thing I want to bring up for food for thought is, again, we discussed last month about any large contractor, supplier, and their incentive to perform to the contract, incentive fees to perform early and under budget, as opposed to coming back with change orders. And I think since we're renegotiating, or at least negotiating, a contract amendment too, now would be the time to address that. So my question, maybe to you, Mike, and Rob, would be, is there any consideration been given or discussion had on how we might maybe measure some of this, or what we could put in for an incentive, or at least review, because I've heard it from citizens too. I know it was just one comment on this board, but and I know that's a little bit of a difficult thing to negotiate, but let me give you an example. Like, let's say you bid contract amendment to task 302 1,000 hours, and you said you're going to have 5 meetings or community outreach, something that's very measurable, and you managed to do that instead of 1,000 hours in 800 hours. In my opinion, there should be some incentive. Now, if you did it, only spent 800 hours because there were delays by the city, or then that's not a you know, a more efficient productivity. So my thing would be, can we put some, or is there an appetite on the council to put some kind of incentive fee in some of this? Maybe you would say, well, we're going to share some of the savings, or the hourly rate, you know, gets increased 5% or 10% for the hours that weren't billed but approved, and assuming the work was completed.
Let me ask a quick question, because you bring up something where this isn't a fixed sum contract.
Right.
And actually, as a consultant, I think if the hours aren't spent, they're not charged, regardless. Mm-hmm. Unlike a contractor who goes out and puts pipe in the ground,
right,
he's going to get his full price regardless.
Yeah, he'll pave whatever he's got to pay
put in
to get that
contract.
Square
in your
footage,
case,
yeah.
And I think this falls under Davis-Bacon, or one of the acts that gets into professional services, where you can't, if you didn't spend the time, you can't bill the time.
The thing about a professional services agreement too, in the city's contract with us, it basically says we can be terminated at any time for no reason.
Yeah,
it's a termination for convenience.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say that at the end of the day, I mean, that's what I'm going to be, and I'm not, you know, I at the end of the day, that's, if I'm not performing, that's mm-hmm. what's going to happen. So
I'm looking at it, and maybe it's not possible under current, you know, I know in the commercial and the corporate contracting mm-hmm. world, we use incentive, and we have government contractors, mm-hmm. and we use incentive fees to, you know, upgrade a system and do it. So maybe that's not appropriate.
Honestly, I leave the finances to you, Barbara. I usually look at the more technical
right.
side of things, but I do think in consultant contracts,
mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure. Yeah, and that's something they'd probably have to ask the city attorney.
Yeah.
One thing that I think is that it's a great point to bring up. One thing we found over the past year is the need to remain flexible relative to what our scope said and what we actually did. That was the reason for that contract amendment one. We found we had to spend more time on certain things, less on others. The overall budget we got right, but we needed to move hours around to make that work. So it would be kind of hard to figure out an incentivization just because mm-hmm. we didn't spend certain hours and we had to spend more on others. All we're doing is doing what we need to do to complete the job.
Okay.
And so it's whatever you'd like to do, but that's our experience so far.
One area, though, we are definitely going to apply what you're talking about, that is the design build of the water reclamation facility. So having
okay.
incentives for early construction, construction mm-hmm. completion, big deal. And I think that's definitely going to be really important for us for that contract. Mm-hmm. That's one of those areas we're going to come back and talk to WRFCAC about.
And that design is under a lump sum contract with the contractor, as opposed to
that's
professional
right.
services.
And there
just
are
like you have a date incentive, time, you know,
yeah,
as
yes.
well.
There
you can have a date incentive with them, and you can also have a cost savings incentive
mm-hmm.
with them, where if they get done for 5% less than what they had bid,
mm-hmm.
then they get 2.5%, and the city keeps doing half. So definitely the along the lines of what you're talking about, we have envisioned for design build. It's a little trickier with professional services. The thing I would say too is given the aggressive schedule, there's not a whole lot of extra time to charge. I mean, one of the issues is we did not expend as much money in a year as we had originally budgeted. And that's because things are moving fast. There were additional things that came up we were able to absorb within the budget. Mm-hmm. Some things we were able to move around. And for me too, the ultimate report card for me is that monthly schedule I keep bringing back and saying we're going to hit these milestones. Because if we don't hit those milestones, I'm going to hear about it. Mm-hmm. So.
No, I agree, and I think it's an important conversation to have.
Definitely.
And at least have that communication. And if it's not applicable to the professional services, I'm acceptable. I'm agreeable to that. Or maybe there could be some little tasks in here that it could be acceptable, but it's not worth doing or negotiating or, you know, finding a way to accurately measure it. But where it is on the bigger ones, then we'll use it. I think people, because people are saying that, so yeah. Let's give them some feedback as
sure.
to how we will apply this and where it's appropriate and where it's not.
I want to agree with John, having worked in consultant services for a number of years, working with consultants and contractors, and having that flexibility to move from one category to the next. You find out in the middle of a project that, well, this took less time, but for some for unknown reasons, when you first started, some other task is going to take a lot more time, and that means more money. And so having that flexibility to move it over to another category is really important to keep the project on task and on schedule.
That's all I had, the comments on this.
Okay. I'm good.
Thank you.
So that brings us to closing comments.
At the last meeting, I suggested that that we invite the California Coastal Commission rep, maybe Ayer or whoever, to one of our meetings. And I strongly suggest that maybe we direct or, you know, strongly request that we have a meeting that has the Coastal Commission here, okay, and so the public can see what their position or their, you know, we could ask open and have open dialogue with that. So that's one thing that I would like to see, have a Coastal Commission rep here. And then secondly, at the last city council meeting, I mentioned in public comment that the difference probably between anybody here on the board and me is that in this document, this draft plan, there's a reference to a study that's using my work product from Cayucas. And I mentioned that it's misinterpreted, and Mr. Leivig was saying that there was a engineering firm that provided the numbers. Well, that is completely false. I did an in-service while working in Cayucas and did a flow study there. And what I'm referring to is the A3, the Wallace Group 2006 sewer flow collection study. And there's flow data that's been generated, and data has been manipulated. And I would also request that maybe you send me the copy. I'm referencing A1, copy of the Cleeth & Associates 2001 Drinking Water Source Assessment Protection for City Wells document that you're using. So I can take a look at that. I'd appreciate that. If you have an electronic copy, that'd be great, you know? But my point, there's a website that I made, and my point, that data that is collected there came from the city. It's not been doctored. It's just been formatted. And, and if you're interested in what some of the collection system, I actually have pictures on some of the collection systems issues that I brought up. And I brought up this issue, like, Mr. Shively, I've been dealing with this project since 2003, so I've been on it for a while, and I brought up capacity issues for years, and I'll do it again in my comment, but this is not news, and when it's being ignored, you know, like the consultant said, he's, you know, completely eliminating exfiltration from the equation, and that's a problem. I'm a fluid dynamicist by profession, okay, and I've built huge projects for the National Security Council, which I was a field engineer, so that's my background, and I feel that we're doing the city citizens a disservice if we do not build the right plant, the right size, in the right location. And right now, I see this direction going completely wrong. I don't see the Coastal Commission approving an industrial use, a lift station. We're doing the whole project was for a managed retreat of sea level rise and climate change, and replacing it with critical infrastructure that's even toxic, you know, that's the most toxic thing in the same location is a fruitless exercise.
Okay, so thank you for those comments. I guess on the Coastal Commission, I read in here that, and it's been in several of our notes, that there's been discussions, and I think Mr. Nunley just said why they can't until they have the formal docs approve it.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in a forum, a public forum, where we can have an open discussion and not a predetermined script, but, you know, just like, let's let it be organic.
You know, one thing we can do, we can certainly, when we speak with Coastal staff, we'd be happy to invite them to come to these meetings. We can't know if they'll be able to make it or not, but we'll be able to convey this discussion with them.
Well, I think that's a good start. That's fair, yeah. Okay, thank you, John.
I have one comment.
Go ahead, Steve.
Closing comment. And that's the fact that I noticed that our vice chairperson is vacant. Maybe for a future agenda item, you might want to put on electing a new vice chairman, as I know John has a day job, and oftentimes it's hard for him to make these meetings. And on another point, I just want to clarify with Richard, I wasn't questioning his facts and figures or anything else, Richard Sadowski. However, what I was questioning is the fact of asking questions to put staff on a spot when they could be asked in advance, just so they could come in prepared and how to answer a question. And that was my only concern.
Okay, thank you. Well stated. Dale?
Aye.
Val?
Oh, just as a follow-up to your comment in regards to Bill Woodson, he's no longer on the committee, and he's going to be missed. His insight and his ability to lead the group, he really did a great job, and I'm sorry that he's not with us.
Ditto, that's the only comment I have as well. Bill, we thank you for your support and everything. We're sorry you're not here to stay. And Gina, can you put that on the agenda for next time? Just elect a vice chair. Okay, thank you. No other comments, so we'll adjourn the meeting at 4:33 p.m. Thank you.
That was quick. I guess it's less people.
Yeah, less comments.
It's, you know, not having Dale. Jenny here.
No. No, I had to return. I'm sorry. I was...